80% of this generation are underdeveloped jaws. A lot of the 35-year-old women turn up with neck ache, backache, anxiety, headaches, feeling crappy in the morning. If you go backwards, my generation is 30%. How come we've gone from 30 to 50 to 80% jaw underdevelopment? If your breathing's not 10 out of 10, the brain turns on the sympathetic nervous system at 3 o'clock in the morning and goes, mayday, 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 mayday. You're talking about those kids that are itchy and won't sit still. That's their sympathetic nervous system. Everything's affecting everything there. And if the sleep's not right, the brain's not right, you're not going to get a thriving human being.
On today's episode of Nurturing Healthy Faces, I have the pleasure of being joined by one of Australia's leading functional orthodontists, Dr. Levi, based out of Sydney. Dr. Levi, thank you so much for doing a video call with me today.
Thank you, Trina. Hi. Okay. Hi. Pleasure to hang out with you.
Thank you. Just to get started, why don't you share with us a little bit of your bio so listeners understand what your specialty is in terms of orthodontics?
Okay. So, bio, Dr. Mark Levi. Well, we'll do a bio. We'll do, I wet the bed till I was 14 and had... At 18, I had lots of headaches and neck ache and jaw problems. And at, 23, I got a dentist degree at Sydney University. So my mum and dad were very proud of me. And then at 40, what did I weigh at 40? I weighed 70 kilos, ran 10Ks on the soft sand at the beach. At 40, they said I had the worst sleep apnea, in Australia. And they said I wasn't breathing at all and I'd probably go and die eventually. And they gave me a CPAP machine at 40. So that was a bit of a – I remember crying driving back to work. I remember that day very clearly. I remember crying all the way back to work thinking, what have I got? Because I didn't really understand what I had. It was a long time ago because I'm old. And so that was about 20 years ago. And so I jumped on a plane and went to the US. So I haven't lived there, thank heavens. But I've got 20 years plus of training in the US. And so that's a cool thing to talk about because I'm actually not an orthodontist. I'm just a dumb, regular garden variety dentist. That's all I really am. Although after spending 20 plus years doing breathing and airway, and sleep, I'm probably not so garden variety at all. And got published in Europe about 10 years ago in the sleep journals. Worked for a while with a lung specialist in my office. So I've really spent a lot of time, 20 odd years, I suppose, or 15 years doing adults, sleep, breathing, sleep apnea, that sort of stuff. And then fell into kids about 8 years ago with a lot of my American buddies. And so all the guys and girls I talk to every day, I talk to America every day, I think, we all got into kids about 0 to 10 years ago. So I'll tell you one more piece of the puzzle and then I'll leave and be quiet, Katrina. Did you know that sleep is about, 40 years old? Did you know that adult breathing and sleep in dentistry especially is only, I think it's 30 years old, and that the kids stuff we do is probably around about the 15 years old stuff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that's new. And I mean, they only found out the brain, which is busier at night, 10 times busier at night, they only found out it's got its own irrigation system called glyphatics about, I think it was 9 years ago. So a lot of this breathing, airway, sleep, brain stuff is new-ish. And so I ain't no Santa Claus. I've just been lately doing too many kids and hanging out too long in America and passionate about, originally fixing me, and then it was about fixing everybody else. So I don't know if that's a bio, but that's where I've come from. I've come from being a patient.
You've mentioned so many fascinating things here, and it's almost like it was meant to be that many people who end up heavily engrossed in a very fresh area of medicine, like sleep medicine, as you say, it's only 4 decades old. You discovered it a few decades ago through lived experience. And I suppose you've been trialing on yourself and now with your patients. And it's typically the way it goes is you have to also live through this stuff to know how to dive into the rabbit hole and discover all of the evolving science in this sphere. You also mentioned that you've now gotten into children, which I'm guessing is fairly fresh information as well, because we tend to think that sleep apnea and sleep disturbance is this middle-aged or older man's issue. And now we're starting to realize it's prevalent amongst all age groups, and surprisingly so, even amongst kids. So can you tell us what you typically see day to day coming into your office? Because you're seeing children and adults. Do they present differently in terms of symptoms?
I think I'm a smarty pants today because I did the adults for 15 years or 10 years or 15 years. And so now I see the kids, and I must have been really dumb 10 years ago. I don't know. But now that I'm seeing the kids, and I've probably done about, I don't know, 2,000 kids. Mind you, my buddies in America have probably done 200,000 kids. And so this isn't like we've done one or two. This is like all day long, every day. Mm-hmm. And so the kids stuff, we now look at the kids and the learning curve is, oh, I know what you're going to look like when you're 35 years old, and I know what you're going to look like when you're 18 years old. And we can almost extrapolate. And now I look back at all the adult patients I saw and I go, oh. And now I can link it back directly to children. And so what does that mean? It means that, go back to core problem. There we are. How about we go back to core problem, Katrina? How about we go back to core problem? Here, let me give you a revelation and then I'll be quiet for 5 seconds. It'll knock your socks off. Okay. Did you know, Katrina, that 80% of children in America and Australia, 80% of children, and England too, and any first world country, 80% of the kids, and this is Professor Robert Coroncini, who's looked at skulls, anthropology, his whole life with his buddies. Imagine looking at skulls your whole career. And he's old like me. And so imagine looking at skulls all your life. 80% of kids have underdeveloped top jaw and bottom jaw. Now, we call them jaws, but in my world, we call them maxilla and mandible. But 80% of kids are underdeveloped. And that's the work of Professor Robert Coroncini. And then if you go backwards, oh, I keep on bouncing the computer. If you go backwards, Katrina, 50% of your generation are underdeveloped jaws, which is why so many people are having teeth straightened again. And, well, a lot of the 35-year-old women turn up with neck ache, back ache, anxiety, libido problems, grinding teeth, their headaches, feeling crappy in the morning. So 50% of your generation, 80% of this generation, my generation, because I'm a patient, is 30%. So what you want to say to me is, Mark, oh, my God, Dr. Mark, how come we've gone from 30 to 50 to 80% jaw underdevelopment? Who the heck cares? Why do we care? Why do we care that this jaw and this jaw are smaller? Who cares? And so that's 10 questions for you, Katrina. We should hand out, like, multiple choice questions.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't want to butt in at all because you were just divulging so much interesting, fascinating statistics and knowledge there. It makes sense. We tend to see this, that kids, each generation is getting worse. And kids may not necessarily even look like their parents as much because their face, the mandible and maxilla, are 2/3 of their face. And if that's shrunken, that's going to change the visual expression of how their features look, the face is narrower. And so they don't have the jaws the size of their parents or grandparents. And we see that. But I had no idea. We're now up to 80% of the population of our young kids having a deficiency of the face. And why should we care? You're right. Well, now we're seeing that we've got all these airway problems, which is like so fundamental to how we can exist in the world and how our brain functions and how our organs are functioning, whether we've got the anxiety, like you said, it was also interesting. You even brought up libido issues with women and men, like erectile dysfunction. These are circulatory problems that come down to low nitric oxide and low blood oxygen. So if you can't carry oxygen, how do you expect to get blood flow to the areas you want when it's time to get romantic? And so there's so many little things people deal with and have no idea. It comes back to facial structure and ability to breathe properly.
Do you drive a car? Do you drive a car, Katrina?
I drive a van.
Okay. Does it have like four wheels or something, or eight wheels, or what? How many wheels?
Four.
Okay. Do you put petrol in it, or unleaded, or gas, or electricity? Diesel. What are you shoving it?
Yeah, diesel.
Okay, diesel. So, what would happen if you put petrol in it?
Yeah, it would suffer. It wouldn't drive very well.
Okay. Well, what happens if kids don't breathe properly, or what if adults don't breathe properly, or what if you hold your breath for 4 minutes? What happens if you hold your head? I don't know the answer, but imagine holding your breath for 10 minutes and seeing how you'd feel, or whether you'd be around still. 10 minutes holding your breath, no oxygen, fuel. Yeah. Fuel, fuel, fuel. And so the most important commodity we've got, we can live without water and food for a while. But imagine not having oxygen. And because it's invisible, no one really notices that. And that's really what we're talking about today. We're talking about oxygen. Yeah. And so I'll tell you why we're smaller.
Mm.
Although I think, you're a smarty girl. I mean, oh, my God, I read your bio, Katrina. You've done anthropology, sociology, the study of mankind, the study of people. You understand skulls. How did you get in? I mean, you know more than most of the medical, dental, allied health world know about structure and bones. How did you end up there? You're a smart girl.
Wow, Dr. Levi, that's a massive compliment coming from you. And it's great to vibe with someone because we are coming to the same scientific conclusions through different avenues. Like you said, I did anthropology, sociology, and evolutionary psychology as my undergrad. And then through personal lived experience, similar to you, I had to delve into orthotropics because my face was really damaged by the mishandling of care of just traditional dentistry, which threw off my bite. So my jaws weren't lining up properly. And over time, it took 12 months for me to see the full effect of the damage. But if you're only chewing on one side of the jaw, the asymmetry from building up muscle and bone just on one side while the other side's going through osteoporosis by not getting contact. And I was going to surgeons and orthodontists and they're saying, oh, you'll need to have surgery, or maybe we'll fill you up with silicone and we'll shave down the bigger side. And I'm thinking, if I do this, I've got no hope of ever truly realigning my face and returning to homeostasis because I've got silicone, et cetera, in my face. So I knew if this was gradually downward slide damage, I could probably slowly turn it around. And that's why I looked into the scientific articles on how do facial mechanics work? Can faces be remodeled? I'd seen in America, they were doing palate expansion with adults, and it was quite rare in Australia back in 2016 and 2017.
Still rare today. It's still rare today. They say it's impossible.
I can't stand people telling me, oh, you'll only tip the teeth. You'll only tip the teeth. How many times I've heard this, but I'd seen the studies, and the studies were old. We were doing twin studies, not we.
Have you seen Mark Levi's palate?
No, you haven't shown me.
Mark Levi's got a palate that's grown substantially. So when they say it's impossible, I normally just – there's a great friend of mine in Malaysia who's an ear, nose, and throat specialist in Malaysia. He stopped yelling at everybody in the hallway because he just figures, well, no one's listening to me. I'm going to do my thing, and I'm going to read the new research and see what's happening today, and I'm going to have an open mind to what I learned 30 years ago and what I'm learning today. Mm. And so there's it's like the work of Professor Karen Bonnock, B-O-N-U-C-K, out of the US. God, everybody I know is out of the US. And so she will tell us that 50% of kids in America diagnosed with ADHD and given Ritalin and Speed and Ecstasy. 50% of kids in the US do not have ADHD. They are misdiagnosed and they have a breathing problem. Mm-hmm. And so my comment, I was going to get excited, but I thought I'd be quiet. My comment is, gee whiz, I wonder how many mums and dads that have been had kids diagnosed with ADHD, I wonder how many of them have had a 22, 23, 24 screening, breathing, sleeping questions asked. And so we put together a screening two-minute questionnaire about 6 months ago because we hand out to, anybody that'll take it, really. And so if you're going to diagnose a child with ADHD, I haven't got a problem with that, but I've got a problem that you need. It would be prudent, with all the research out there, prudent to ask about 22 sleep, well, low-hanging fruit screening questions about breathing and sleep. And what we're really talking about today is bone, breathing, sleep, brain, symptoms. And I'll do that again because I think it's important. We're talking about top jawbone, bottom jawbone, air going in, down a pipe. I love my plumbers. Down a pipe, which should be a big, fat, huge pipe, not a little, tiny, little pipe. Air goes in, down this pipe, and that affects your sleep. And if you're a kid, that affects your growth hormone and lots of other things. And that affects your brain, which is busier at night. And if you're unlucky, you'll have lots of symptoms. If you're lucky, you'll have no symptoms. But symptoms and anatomy don't always weigh up. You might have lots of symptoms. You might have no symptoms. You might have good anatomy. You might have bad anatomy. Anatomy is bone and structure. And we all need a six-bedroom mansion with swimming pool, tennis court, triple garage to breathe through. We all need a big six-bedroom mansion to breathe through. And if your little Johnny is breathing through a one-bedroom studio apartment in the middle of Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, then that little Johnny's not getting enough breathing, oxygen, airway working. If he hasn't enough real estate, if he hasn't enough oral real estate to breathe properly, we have a problem. Mayday, mayday. And that will affect your sleep and your brain, and then maybe you'll get symptoms. And so if people are confused what we do, we look at bone, top jaw, bottom jaw bone, and we look to see whether it's optimal to breathe till you're 99 years old. And the only, it would be prudent again, if this is not the right size, we're talking about, I like to talk about kids because they're easy to talk about, because kids have till they're about 12, 13, 14, maybe 18 to help this bone be the right size to be airway breathing friendly. And if you miss that window, it ain't crash hot good. It's not all that great. And that's where I am. That's where I was. I missed that window because I'm old, and I just figure that there are mums that fly in from Melbourne to see us, and there are mums and dads that come in from Brisbane and Darwin and Adelaide, and I'm not Santa Claus. We've just done too many kids and make too much noise, and they just see us because they're frustrated or because they've something resonated. But at the end of the day, you've got a window with these kids to make them grow bone and grow the six-bedroom house to breathe through. And my favourite patients, Katrina, my favourite patients are tradies because they just understand 4B2, 3B5. They understand make the house bigger to breathe. And they just go, well, if you haven't got a big enough pipe for a car or a tractor or these mechanical sort of tradie, engineers, they go, well, that makes sense. You need a big enough pipe to get the air down there. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about bone, and we're talking about, and you need to tell everybody why we're getting smaller, Katrina, because you know why we're getting smaller.
Yes.
Why is this problem getting worse, Katrina? You tell them why it's getting worse and why they should be worried about their kids.
Yes. Well, it's not just one factor. We have a myriad of factors contributing to this problem. So whether you weren't breastfed, some children are like, yes, I breastfed my two first children for over a year, but I didn't realize I had tongue ties back then. And so they still had deficiencies of the jaws. And I thought, oh, I'm breastfeeding, I'm doing the right thing, wasn't enough. I used to give them the pouchy foods, thinking, oh, this is convenient, no mess, vegetables on the go. But again, that can teach them the wrong musculature use where they're doing a reverse swallow or their tongue thrusting. And so the tongue's not doing the proper swallow and pumping upwards. I used to give my kids green smoothies every day, being like, this is great. You know, they don't eat vegetables, but I'll give them a smoothie. Well, I'm not giving them the opportunity for long, hard chewing. And so you start to realize not enough chewing, not swallowing properly because we've got the pouchy foods or the sippy cup that encourages the tongue to come forward to stop the flow of water rather than pumping up. If we give them a pacifier, my first two didn't like pacifiers because they were breastfed. My third born, she went to hospital for RSV and she was there for a week. I dried up, started bottle feeding. She actually has developed the best because she didn't have the tongue tie. I got onto that when she was newborn, but she's been using a pacifier and I'm thinking, what am I doing? I'm teaching her tongue to sit below something every night and during nap times, and she looks for them during the day. She loves sucking them. And I think this isn't natural. I'm just going to disrupt her oral habit. And then, you know, I've talked about the consistency of the food we eat. We have a refrigerator, which was popular when it first came in because you could store and preserve a meal for the family for the next day without changing the consistency. I'll just have leftovers, you know, I'll have a flavor infusion of something really exotic I've made for my guests and my family. Well, trying to be too fancy with your food often softens the consistency of it. And then these days we reheat meals in the microwave and it turns to slosh. So when are we actually doing the hard chewing? We eat sandwich meats, these deli meats that you do a few light chews and you swallow it. It's like no mechanical.
What are your thoughts on the 400 years of not chewing and the 200 years of electricity and the 100 years of factories? What's your view on all that and the epigenetic ramifications of that?
I think when you have a multitude of factors at play, it can really interfere with your growth. But some people, you look at them today and they look fantastic and they go, I had a fridge my whole childhood. I wasn't eating dehydrated meat. And yet they've grown pretty well. So no one of these things is the be all and end all. But when there's a combination and then for whatever reason, kids start mouth breathing because it's now common to live in populated areas with busy daycare centers where the kids get an onslaught of runny noses, viruses. They've got their allergies. So they're stuffy here for weeks sometimes, and they start to mouth breathe. Well, the nose may eventually clear up, but they've formed the poor habit of mouth breathing, which I've explained before to whoever's listening. Once they do that, that tongue drops from the top jaw to mouth breathe and let the air go over the tongue. Well, that robs the top jaw of that crucial muscular support that's going to push those bones up and out and broad and keep the upper airway healthy. So we've been looking at our kids with crooked teeth and mouth breathing, thinking, oh, maybe this is just who they are. Maybe, I don't know, something's going to ride genetically. Because we're told it's genetics. It's not just genetics. Our whole body.
It's a big picture. My guys, some of my favorite heroes in the US, Sprout, that if we saw every single four-year-old in the USA, and we got every single four-year-old's maxilla and mandible to grow more, we'd get rid of, this is some of my heroes in America, they sprout that they wonder how many would we ever get rid of? Would we get rid of ADHD? Would we stop taking tonsils and adenoids out? Would we stop pulling teeth out? Would we stop having braces put on? Would we stop having CPAP machines age 40? Would we, how many medical ADHD, tonsils, cognitive stuff, how many things could we improve if every four-year-old was looked at 4 or at 3, I've got to fix my granddaughter at 3.5. I'm about to start my granddaughter at 3.5. If we grow all these kids and get them growing and growing with an airway-centric focus, so it's airway-friendly, not teeth-friendly, but airway-friendly, how many of these kids would thrive? And then one of my favorite guys in New York cracks the joke that says, if we saw the four-year-olds and we got them right and their breathing was better, their sleeping was better, and their brain was better, how many would not need private school, and how many would not need $40,000 a year of private schooling because their brain is going to work so much better than every other kid in the class? And so that's conversation over a glass of wine type banter. That's not medical research. The other point I'd make, Katrina, is that I don't know if mums and dads know this, but let's talk about the four-year-old, if that's okay. If you make the four-year-old's top and bottom jaw grow, do you know, Katrina, do you know that that makes the nose grow, the sinuses grow, tongue space grow, teeth space grow? And the work of Linda Oystrom out of Sweden about in 2018 will tell us that it will increase the real estate in front of the tonsils and adenoids by a substantial amount. And when that research came out, my guys in America went and remeasured all their old cases and got all excited. So just think about it. We're talking about the mouth, and that's affecting the nose, the sinus, the tongue, the teeth, the tonsil and adenoid space, the airway volume. I mean, oh, my God, it's affecting everything above the shoulders, which is why they call it, when I hang out with my guys, they call that the craniofacial respiratory complex. Yeah. So it's a big, everything affects everything. And, you know, how many mums know that the nose and the top of the mouth, the palate, are 0.5 millimeter away? The palate is the floor of the nose. And so when mums turn up with, 100 million different symptoms and they go, what, it's all related, and we join dots, so they understand. And I think it's important people understand that everything's affecting everything there. Yes. And if the sleep's not right and the brain's not right and their oxygen's not right, you're not going to get a thriving human being, a thriving child.
They're surviving. There's kids just surviving the day of school. And, ADHD diagnosis through the roof. We're not giving them breathing and sleep studies. And children present differently to adults, don't they? When an adult is tired, we slow down, we look fatigued. A child, they're on this sympathetic overdrive of cortisol and adrenaline, so they're jittery. They cannot focus. They cannot sit still. They've got these little fidgety toys now everywhere. They've got to fidget because they're jittery. Their nerves are on overdrive. And I hate to think that because people don't understand, this is all physiologically linked, the face, the brain, the body, and it's lifestyle getting in the way. How many children think, oh, I'm the naughty kid because I can't sit still in class. I'm disruptive. I can't manage my emotions. I'm irritable. And then, I'm not the sporty kid, because once you become a mouth breather, their tongue's low, they've got to change their posture. They're breathing through, then they've got this S spine, the knees go in, they're pigeon-toed, the whole spine's out of alignment. So they're not coordinated. They don't think they're smart. They think they're the naughty child. They internal.
Oh, Katrina, we're going to get you speaking at the medical conferences overseas. God, going to get you talking to the doctors and the specialists.
Well, I mean, this is how people will live the trajectory of the rest of their life, thinking there's something inherently faulty with them, not realizing our orthodontics, traditional conventional dentistry that's just looking at teeth and not the palate and breathing. We could have fixed this when they were 3 or 4. But instead,
when I went to dental school, they didn't tell us what a tongue did, and they told us what a tooth did, and I think there's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of kids struggling And they will. They'll do okay. They'll cut. They'll compensate. But it would be prudent to go back to square one and go, is there an issue we can solve that will make my child thrive, that will make them thrive a long, long time? And getting breathing right is number one and paramount.
Yeah.
And the research at the moment is about so, so, so deep of all the of all this information. It's out there, and the mums find it, and so it's out there. And you want you don't want a child. So I did adults for too long. I don't want any children to be adult patients. I mean, you just don't want an adult patient in the office. Why would you want that? You don't want an adult patient in the office. And the mums and dads are reading. You know, we've got a whole library on our website of great books, and these mums are finding these books and reading these books, and they're going, oh my God, this all makes sense. And so, and it's quoting medical literature, and so it's not crazy stuff. You know what I like to say, Katrina? Here's my favorite. My favorite is, there's a couple of two favorites. One of my two favorites this afternoon. Here's number one.
Yeah.
Number one is, have you got one of those phones, those Dick Tracy phones you talk to? Have you got an electric car outside?
No.
You've obviously got a mobile phone.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't exist 5, 10, 15 years ago. And so we're seeing change in how we deal with airway and breathing.
Mm.
And my other comment is that we don't mind making kids cute.
Mm.
We don't mind making anybody cute, but we'd like them cute and breathing.
Yes.
And so we put airway focused in front of everything we do, because we think that airway and breathing should be at the very, very front of everything. And so we don't mind making kids with teeth cute, but we want them breathing as well.
It's been around. This information's been around about breathing and sleep, but it doesn't seem to be a sexy topic for people, because it's this silent thing you take for granted and you're not really paying attention to how you sleep anyway. You think, oh, I get 7 or 8 hours. That's good enough. Not realizing if you're a snorer or you're waking frequently or waking up tired, there could be a big problem there. And many people are interested in, make me beautiful. How do I express my full potential? They'll ask you about how to improve their face. But when you start talking health benefits, it's not as appealing to people, because they can't really appreciate how much this does affect
potential. You know, in the old days, I read a book years ago when I started in sleep by Alana, I've gone blank, but she's like a New York Times, Wall Street important person. And so she was living on 3-4 hours sleep being a corporate executive. And the name eludes me. She's somewhat important. And she hit the wall and realized, I don't know who told her, but she started sleeping 12 hours a night, 11 hours a night, and made herself into a new person. So then she started writing magazines and book articles and tried a book. And so the two guys really, I think, that have changed the world with sleep and breathing was Why We Sleep. Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker was the first, and that was a New York Times bestseller. I've heard him lecture in the US. He's a great guy. And the next guy that came along about 8 years later was Nesbitt, James Nesbitt, who's a great speaker, and he wrote the book Breathe. And so, you know, that was a great book for the general public to appreciate, not pediatrically specific, just general mums and anybody to go, this is what sleep's about, this is what breathing's about. And they spoke to the audience, and both of them were New York Times bestsellers, and both of them were in every airport around the world because they were just being sold off, they were just selling. And so those two books really changed sleep and put sleep on the map. And I mean, I did a TV gig. I had to research. I've done a bit of TV. There's a joke here that says the number of elite athletes that have a sleep coach is, oh my God, mate, Federer sleeps, I think Federer sleeps about 14 hours a day or something. There was a story I heard in America when I was at a lecture. They rang up, what was it? Super Bowl. Super Bowl was on. They were going to win. They wanted to win. They rang up. I've forgotten the guy's name, Michael. What's the name? Anyway, he told the coach to tell the team to have a nap about 3 hours before the game. The coach said, no, you're an idiot. The doctor said, but you rang me. And so he did what he was told, the short version is, and they won the Super Bowl or some American football game or something. And so there's anecdotal stories about elite athletes and getting into breathing and sleep. And the extrapolation of that is, so breathing and sleep is back here, but airway is where you start. And jaws and teeth and tongue, that's where you start. And the journey goes back this way and down there. And so the sleep and breathing, it's all related. And so those guys have really started the conversation a lot in the general public.
Yes, I've heard that there's athletes who have a special pod. It's completely dark. They're away from their spouse. Like sleep, you need to protect it before game day or the ultimate repair of the muscles and getting ready for that big game. Another doctor I was speaking to, Dr. Buck, was saying Usain Bolt has won races before with his mouth closed. He's nasal breathing to the finish line. You know what I mean? We have footage of him. He's just got these amazing airways and, you know, it just shows that when everything works well, we can excel and thrive. And we've been looking at athletes, gold medal winners, as though they're genetically, you know, gods above human. But I think they've just developed so well. Their airways are healthy. They're sleeping well. And it's giving them these above average superhuman abilities because all of their muscles are oxygenated. They repair well. They detoxify. They sleep properly.
You know you can lose weight when you go to sleep at night?
Yes.
Have you heard that joke?
No.
So leptin, ghrelin, cortisol, and insulin. They're the four hormones, leptin, ghrelin, cortisol, and insulin. And so if you're not sleeping long enough or well enough or properly enough or oxygen enough or nitric oxide enough or, I mean, I digress. Katrina knows there's three main gases when you breathe, oxygen, carbon dioxide, and nitric oxide. There's three main gases. It's a mix. And if they're out of whack, you're in trouble. But so go back to story I was telling about what story was I telling about
athletes? You had a joke. Do they all walk into a bar? Oxygen, carbon dioxide, nitric oxide? I'm not sure.
I've just lost my train of thought. We'll have to keep that from the webinar. I was going to tell you a story I've just lost my train of thought totally because I digress. That's my fault. I apologize. I digress.
It'll come back.
It'll come back. But what I was going to allude to an area that was in an interest of mine, which is how do I know? I might come back to my story, or you might delete it. We'll come back to my story about how does mum and dad know little Johnny is doing okay? I mean, you know, how do they know that he's got a problem, or how do they know? And I find that mums and dads, they go, you know, I don't think my kid's thriving. And so, well, if they're lucky, let's say, they might go and trip over maybe my website, or they might read one of those books that I, you know, on my website, and they'll go, hang on, all these symptoms, my kid's got all these symptoms. It's like when mums ring up one of my people and my people can hear the end of the sentence before the mother's finished. And so the mums go, but how do you know that? And they go, well, we hear this every day. I mean, your child's not different to any other child. And so you can look at these kids and go, they look normal. You know, I think they're okay. But unless you've done some, you know, unless you do lots of measure, unless you spend time, not 2 minutes, not six, unless you spend some time looking, listening, and measuring the children, and taking really good histories and really listening, that's when you work out whether the breathing and sleeping is good and whether the anatomy is good. And I like to spruik that all the time.
Yeah.
You've got to look at all the symptoms and join the dots, like bedwetting.
Yeah.
You've got to look at all the symptoms.
You had it for 14 years. Tell us how bedwetting.
Because I remember the joke now, I'll tell you about losing weight. If leptin, ghrelin, insulin, and I was doing a TV gig. If leptin, ghrelin, insulin, and cortisol is out of whack, then, if you're sleeping well and sleeping 11 hours a night, really, really good quality sleep, then you can, careful what I say, you won't lose weight, but you can lose weight because all those four hormones are in charge of your weight, generally speaking. Generally speaking, they're the four hormones related to weight. And so there's a joke that if you sleep well, you'll actually lose some weight. And so there's medical research to sort of validate that. The other fun trivia is bedwetting. Well, bedwetting, a lot of the time, I bedwetted till I was 14 or something because I was a train wreck anatomically as a kid. God knows how I got to be a dentist or do all this breathing stuff. These days I'm lecturing in America and they think I'm important and I go, no, I'm just a dumb patient.
It could have sent you to the moon had you been breathing well.
So bedwetting's all about if your oxygen, I'm getting all excited, I apologize. Getting all passionate and excited. If your oxygen and if your carbon dioxide and if your nitric oxide's out of whack, like cooking a cake and you haven't got the ingredients correct.
Mm.
Like my cooking. If it's out of whack, it's gonna be awful. Train wreck. I don't cook. So that's called breathing. If your breathing's not 10 out of 10, it's going to be, I use the language, out of whack. And so if it's really out of whack, the brain turns on the sympathetic nervous system at 3 o'clock in the morning and goes, mayday, 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 mayday. You're talking about those kids that are twitchy and itchy and won't sit still. That's their sympathetic nervous system going, the mouth's open, the oxygen and carbon dioxide and nitric oxide's out of whack. Mayday, mayday. And it's got to do with their circulation and it changes their blood flow, their blood pressure. And that's why you get bags under the kids get venous pooling, which is blood pooling under the eyes. And so all that's because the brain's going, mayday, mayday, we're going to get eaten by a lion. And it empties the bladder out at 3 a.m. Yeah. And so the problem's actually above the neck, not below the neck. And why do I say that? Well, anecdotally, we've seen kids in my office where we've stopped them bedwetting in 3 days or 2 days or 4 days. And so, we'd go whoop, whoop, whoop. We've seen kids that do better at school in 4 weeks. And what did we do? All we did was get them to breathe better. We've seen kids where the family's gone, who is this child? It's a better child. What have they been eating? Oh, they saw that Dr. Mark guy. And so I'm not Santa Claus, but the guys I hang around with in America are Santa Claus. But you can do some really cool things by getting a child to breathe properly. But if their structure is not proper, I've had mums say to me, can I tape their lips and all these other things? And I've gone, well, let me go back one step. If this bone and this bone aren't grown enough, that child at 99 years old or 89 years old or 18 years old is going to struggle. And so there's research with McNamara and the research of 1926 with Borg about how much growth and development we really want these bones to be. And so I think that's all cool stuff. I mean, I'm on a roll. I apologize. I get a bit excited.
That was fantastic. It was perfect. And you've got lots of now ideas in my head that I want to share, which some are anecdotal but led me down a path to look at the science. So my firstborn, his teachers in kindy, we call it prep in Queensland, but it's kindergarten, they were ready to say, go and get him assessed at a pediatrician. He's got these habits that look like on the spectrum. Now, I don't expect you to jump on and say autism has anything to do with breathing, but autism's a real condition, but now we have this thing about children falling somewhere on the spectrum because they're not sociable.
Well, go back one step and change the language to behavior. just change the language not to autism, not change the language not to ADHD or the labels. Just go back one step and say, some of the kids appeared to be interesting, or behavior interesting, or concentration interesting, or, you know, they just don't, or school, or social interaction, behavior. I call it behavior stuff, okay?
And there's these behaviors they demonstrate. They're not flourishing socially. Their speech is delayed. Maybe they're a little withdrawn. What else?
Has anybody said to the, has anybody checked out whether they're breathing 10 out of 10?
They don't ask about that because no one knows about it. They go to their GP and they
sleeping 10 out of 10. I want to teach sleeping. I want to teach a cool thing. I want to teach a cool thing. So I don't know if I can do this. I can't do this on a Zoom. So when I've got a patient sitting in front of me, Katrina, I thump them on the shoulder like that for a minute, and they go, "Hey, Dr. Mark, that's not really pleasant. Can you stop doing that?" And I go, "Well, imagine sleeping all night, and every 5 minutes there was not you stopped breathing, not a medical apnea or a hypopnea, not a medical stopping breathing, but just a fragmentation of sleep, fragmentation. Do you think if I thumped you all night, you'd sleep well?" And they go, "No." And I go, "Well, your eyes might be shut for 10 or 11 hours, but your eyes might be shut for 10 or 11 hours. But if you're getting sleep fragmentation, which is just microscopic, because sleep is a wave that you get about, I think it's 7 of those at night, takes about 90 minutes. Kids is a bit longer. If that's not ideal, you're going to wake up in the morning feeling like crap. That's a technical word I use. And so the point I make is this. Sometimes we don't know, you know, sometimes it's not bad enough to label. And so that's why I don't like labeling some of these kids. That's why I chose not to talk about, well, autism or ADHD specifically, because they're labels. Yeah. But go back to some of the labels we use for, we use the label mouth breathing. We use the label snoring. We use the label upper airway resistance syndrome, which is especially prevalent with women because women have estrogen, which protects their airway, which is why women and men are different patients at age 40, totally different patients. I see the women at 35 and the guys at 40. We won't go there. So we've got mouth breathing, snoring, upper airway resistance syndrome, sleep fragmentation, and sleep apnea. Now, they're labels and they're real and they're helpful and we use them and they're okay. But you know what I think? Why don't you tell mum and dad that it's not breathing properly? I mean, people understand that. Why don't you just tell them their sleep's lousy? Why don't you just tell them that they're not physiologically thriving? So a kid today said, "Hey, Dr. Mark, what's physiologically mean?" And I said, "Well, you're just an engine. You're just a car. You're just a motor. You're just a car. You're an engine. And it's not working properly." And he goes, "Well, I get that." He said, "Is that me?" And I said, "Well, yeah, you're not really running at 10 out of 10. And he said, "Oh, well, I'd like to have my engine to run at 10 out of 10. I'd like to run faster and, you know, whatever's involved." So I'm not anti-labels, but I'm making a point that mouth breathing at 4 or upper airway or any diminished or unideal or not 10 out of 10 breathing or sleep ain't good.
Yeah. Well, I was hesitant to have one of my children assessed at such a young age to be labeled potentially for life by a pediatrician who's going to look at a cluster of symptoms and say, looks like ADHD, looks like autism, you know, et cetera, because I knew my child was about to start palate expansion. And by doing a course of orthodontics, functional orthodontics, to develop the palate and develop the airway, we might see a reduction in these symptoms. And lo and behold, as you say, these things can be quite quick. I think about 3 months in, friends of mine who know my kids say, "Wow, really come out of their shell, haven't they? Oh, they're like looking me in the eye now and asking me how I am." And, you know, my kids laughing with me more, less sooky, asking me about when I was a kid, you know, showing interest in other people. And, you know, their personality shines.
Woo! And so, what age can we sort these kids out? We can sort these kids out at 2 and 3. We can sort these kids out at 3 and a half. We can start treating them at 3 and a half. And I want to make a point quietly and make an important point to mums and dads.
Ooh.
Out in front of my office is about 200 cars. I don't do cars, I do boats. In front of my office is 200 cars, and they're all different. They're all cars. They've got four wheels, a steering wheel, and they drive. You with me still?
Yeah.
There's lots of dental procedures, dental words, orthodontic words, orthodontic procedures. I know you've mentioned the word functional. You've mentioned the word atropic words. There's lots of labels. I've mentioned the word that I'm a breathing sleep guy. There's lots of labels, okay? They're not all the same, and the cars in front of my office aren't all the same. The Mercedes-Benz Ferrari is different to the second-hand 20-year-old Hyundai. So they're all, and the truck is different to the diesel truck's different to the Ferrari, okay? So there's no right and wrong, but there's a lot of different ways to fix things. So there's no one right way. There's a lot of wrong ways, but there's no right way.
Okay, I want to bring up a study, and I'll have to tag it in our video post, this podcast. It was only
Like to be too confrontational, Katrina. I don't want to be too – so the reason I said that is because I'm just letting mums and dads know that they might be seeing the right person. They might not be seeing the right person. They might be seeing someone who's wavelength is there. They might not be. I mean, it's really, really hard.
You can't walk into an orthodontist and any orthodontist and get the same, or dentist and get the same level of care. You could get completely different outcomes.
Every pediatrician, every ear, nose and throat, every orthodontist, every dentist, every physiotherapist, every cake maker, they're all going to have, every mechanic is going to have their own genre of idiosyncrasy of methodology.
Yeah.
And so I'm making a loud point that it can be hard to know whether you're on the right track or whether another track might be more, the word is efficacious, which means getting a better outcome.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question, Dr. Levi? Your thoughts on the study. Study came out 2 or 3 years ago, and it was saying there was an autistic facial phenotype. There was a masculinized facial type with autism. And so what they were noticing with these kids was a large forehead, small midface, and I'm guessing maybe the jaw was jutting out or square. I don't know what masculine means. Perhaps it was a heavy brow. And these kids had symptoms that are looking like autism. Now, what they've described is essentially a face that hasn't grown well and is going to give the child breathing issues or sleep apnea. And they're saying, oh, well, these are autistic kids. Well, maybe they're kids that don't flourish socially, struggle to concentrate, do more habitual behaviors, and don't thrive because they don't breathe and oxygenate well. I just don't think that we've got a condition, autism, that couples with a distinct facial shape. Do you have any thoughts straight off the bat on a study like that?
I revert to my prior comments, which are, if someone walked into my office, and let's talk kids under the age of 15, okay, four to 15 year olds, if they walked into my office with a label, any label, I'm open to agree that it might be spot on, but I'm also very, very open that I want to ask about 120 questions relating to the craniofacial respiratory breathing respiratory complex.
Yeah.
So I don't mind the label, and I'll accept the label. And I've heard your question about the report. My question is, in that report, where did it say that they'd asked a lot of, you know, we call them ABS, airway, breathing, sleep questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where did they ask those questions, and when do they measure anatomical breathing structures? And so that's all. I've got a lot of respect for all the medical professionals and all the dental professionals, and I'll go whoop whoop to all the cake makers and all the mechanics and all the physiotherapists. But there's a but coming. But when it comes to children today, and we know that 80% of them are underdeveloped,
yeah,
which means that 80% of them have suboptimal structure to breathe,
yeah,
and sleep, mm-hmm, and have brain function,
mm,
then I think it would be somewhat prudent to put those sort of questions a little bit higher up the food chain. And yeah, I don't think that's unreasonable to ask. I don't think it's unreasonable just to add all those sleep and breathing questions into the mix.
Yes. And I suppose what we're trying to do by getting this information out to common people so they understand, because you don't get it at your general practitioner. When you go to the doctor and say, I've got these symptoms, they're probably not going to talk about diet, breathing, sleep with you. They're probably going to give you a prescription or give you a referral to see a specialist. What we want to see is the undergraduate degrees for dentistry, medicine.
Oh yeah, right. But then you're on the soapbox. Now you're on the soapbox. We can do this. It's driven by mums. It's driven by mums and dads, Katrina. It's driven from the bottom up. You know, I see a lot of mums. I just want to lay a seed. I'm going to go soon, and I want to lay a seed. Okay, I want to lay a seed because it speaks to what you've just spoken about. And it's called frustrated mums, okay, and dads. Mm. So there's got to be a reason why someone would jump on an aeroplane and fly an hour to see little old me, okay? And the reason they jump on an aeroplane is because of the word frustration. And so they might have had their little Johnny doesn't quite look right. Their little Johnny doesn't quite look like he's thriving, and golly gosh, mums know. And then mums know. And then they go to the GP, they're good people. He sends them to the ear, nose and throat specialist, they're good people. They get some sort of surgery done, they're good people. They then come back and go, it's not as good as I want. They go, okay, well, allergies, let's check out allergies. And they go on the allergy path.
Mm.
And then a year or two later, they go, you know, I don't think little Johnny's doing as well as he used to do. He was doing well for a while, but I think he's getting not great again.
Yeah.
And so these are parents that are looking for the why.
Yeah.
Why is little Johnny at 6 or 8 or 11, 12? Why is little Johnny not doing as well as he was doing terribly before? He got a little bit better. He's getting crook again. Why? And so we trip over that scenario a lot, and we try and be helpful. And so I suppose there's not a lot of people out there. There could be much more people out there. There could be a lot more people out there pondering airway, breathing and sleep. That's all for children, and whether they've got the right airway structure to get efficacious 10 out of 10 breathing and sleep. Mm. Because if it's good enough for the elite athletes and the Federers of the world, why isn't it good enough for the kids to get really, really good breathing, really good breathing? And so that's just a rhetorical broad brush comment about how we approach these kids,
yep,
today in 2024, as opposed to 30 years ago or 5 years ago or 100 years ago.
Well, Dr. Levite, thanks for giving your time to a very frustrated mum who's been looking for answers for years now and knows what it's like going around a system, spending the money, spending the time, doing the research. It's a part-time job. It's so difficult for parents to find that person who's going to tell them the root cause. And by getting the word out, I'm hoping we're going to have more professionals looking into airways, sleep medicine, and putting that into their practice so it's not so difficult for mums and dads to help their kids, because we're seeing the symptoms and we're like, something's
growing
up.
Very fast. It's growing very fast in the US.
Yeah.
In the US, it's definitely, mind you, their population's, you know, bigger than ours, obviously. So obviously it's growing faster because the numbers are bigger. But I've tripped over so many. It's just growing, and I believe that mums should be better informed, and I encourage mums to go and read I mean, my gig these days is really kids, and so if they're mums and dads that are listening, adults are a complicated bag. But if you understand kids, you'll understand adults, and if you understand kids, you'll understand where adults come from. And if you understand what we're doing to kids, then you'll understand how the adults got there. And so I encourage any mums and any dads to read up. There's a whole raft of good books on my website, which is just a library of airway, breathing, sleep books. They're not my books. And there's some really good information there that the mums go, that actually makes sense to me. And I crack a joke that says, who are my favourite patients? The tradesmen, the guys that understand pipes and all breathing is a pipe. It's all it is. Katrina, keep making a noise out there. I'm thrilled with your anthropology, sociology, and your so I just want your listeners to know that Katrina, when they said to me, can you talk to Katrina? And I said, oh, who's Katrina? And oh, why? And who is she? And I went and did some digging, and I went, oh my God, who, this woman's done all this 5,000-year study stuff, so she understands where we've come from, not 2 years ago, but thousands and hundreds of years, and that's why it's a wonderful fresh voice in the marketplace that is explaining, because anthropology, we didn't have a problem 400 years ago. We didn't have small jaws 400 years ago. We didn't have ear, nose, and throat. We didn't have wisdom teeth removed. We didn't have CPAP machines. Admittedly, we died early because the lion ate us at age 35 or smallpox or something. But we didn't have a lot of today's problems 400 years ago. So I accolade and salute all your amazing study background, Katrina, and get out there more and hustle more.
I will. I plan to get the mothers and fathers informed so we go knocking on the right doors for our kids. And where can we go to find you if we're Australian and we want to come and have your services? What's your website? Where are you available online? Where do we find you, Dr. Levi?
Two answers to that. Number one is just go and find me on, I think, my Instagram. Everything I touch is Dr. Levi's, D-R-L-E-V-I. S. Don't know how we did that, because my name's Mark Levi, L-E-V-I. Somehow or other we put an S on the end, Dr. Levi's.
I like it. Yeah.
So I don't know how that happened. But the Instagram is, we get phone calls on our Instagram from America and Europe, because whatever we're doing on Instagram is resonating with mums and dads.
Yeah.
And so the Instagram is pretty informative. But my website's pretty cool, you know, for information and for knowledge. I am Sydney based. I'm a Sydney boy. I'm born and bred Sydney boy. And I hang out in America a lot. I'm over there soon doing some lecturing over there. And I am seeing my heroes in America. But the answer to your question is drlevis.com.au is a website. There's a great Instagram and there's just information there. And my people, my team around me tell me what to do, when to do, when to jump, and how to do it. So I'm just a cog in the machine helping mums and dads.
Perfect. And if mums and dads have issues themselves and they go, hold on, I want to help my kid, but I don't breathe and sleep well, I'm thinking I'm a bit narrow. What kind of treatments non-surgically do you offer adults? Because you're one of the rare few who say, there's no limit, age limit to this. We can develop you as an adult. What do you have?
Right. Gee, can you hear that long pregnant pause in my voice?
What, have you got a whole list of appliances or is
the kids are easy. The toolbox for children, naught to 15 is growing. And there's some new stuff coming out of America last week for 2 and 3 year olds. That's really cool that they've done about 1,000 kids in the US so far in the last 2 years. And it's more an online sort of helping, you know, it's another great tool. And so that my American buddies have done a great job with that. I've been nagging them for about a year and a half. When can I bring it to Australia? And so that's hitting the market. And the other thing is, you asked me about adults. The toolbox for adults. Adults, we can help a lot. They need good diagnosis. We can help a lot. There are lots of tools. To cure adults is really hard work. Really hard work.
Are we talking
about 40 different things we can,
Are we talking a maxillary skeletal expander or mini screw assisted expander, or are you doing a removable device? How do you develop?
Can I say all of the above?
Cool. So you have
anyone else is really? Can I give you a low hanging fruit for an adult? You were looking for an adult, so I'm going to give you a low hanging fruit for an adult. You ready?
Yep.
So I spoke to Teresa in Melbourne today, yesterday. So she came and saw me, and I'm not Santa Claus. I asked her some intelligent questions and thought about it and did some intelligent tests. And, I mean, you know, we do a lot of homework before we touch anybody. I encourage anybody listening, lots of homework before anybody touches you, not a six-minute appointment. And so we put in her mouth, technically it's called a mandibular advancement splint, or in America they call it a mandibular advancement device, MAD. In Australia we call it a mandibular advancement splint. That's what I started, that's what started my career in when I turned 40, 41 actually. And so that really was a tool, and I had 15 of those next to my bed. And why did I have 15? I was looking for the perfect one on the world market. And so mandibular advancement splints, you can go Google them. It's just a top plate thing and a bottom plate thing, and you wear it at night.
Yeah.
And it makes people breathe better. It just makes adults breathe better.
Does it grow them? Will it grow them, or will it just hold them?
No. So you go to bed, you put this gizmo in the top and bottom, comfortable as heck if the right people have made it. Put it in the mouth, top and bottom. And it's an area of expertise that needs to be, you know, there are a couple of very skilled clinicians in each capital city who know how to do this, but it's very much a handful of skilled clinicians that really do a lot of them. They do, like, you know, 100 a month or something, or 100 every, you know, 20 a month, or, you know, do a lot, okay? Do a lot for a long time. And so it won't grow bone, okay? But it's low-hanging fruit, easy-peasy, Japanese-y. It's just easy. Whack it in, go to sleep, wake up in the morning and go, yay, I feel like awesome.
So that
and
is
stopped, and I stopped snoring last night, and I feel better, and my libido is back, and I'm an adult, and I can concentrate at work. Oh, my God, what did you shove in my mouth?
Which is but I get many adults saying, is it too late for me? I'm in my 50s. I'm in my 40s. I want to look better. I want anti-aging. You've got to admit there's some anti-aging effects of growing the maxilla, especially. Do you have appliances that will stimulate bone?
When I say we, I mean the USA and Australia and parts of Europe have the skills to grow. To grow structure as I have grown mine.
Yeah.
We have the skills. And this is an area that's about I'm gonna say it's 10 years old. I might say it's 20 years old, but it's more like 10, 15 years old. And it's really hard work and it's complicated, but it's there. And I have a handful of clinicians I know in Australia that have done some good stuff.
Yeah.
I've got a heap of buddies in America that do that every day. They love it. You know, America's really, that's where it's all happening. And so, yes, you can do what you're asking me to do, but I'm laying a seed that says, instead of embarking on a 2-3-4 year project. If on Monday you feel awful and we can help you feel fantastic on Friday with minimal-ish cost and comfortable and no big deal, wouldn't that be interesting to a lot of people that they would wake up in the morning feeling like a human being and better again? And so the lady in Melbourne, we got, well, you know, I'm not saying every, well, I like to say we got lucky that she feels better after 2 days, reinvented her after 2 days. And so I'd like to say that we got lucky that it took 2 days, not something else. So adults, yeah, there's an opportunity out there. You know, in America, I think it's illegal in America now to give, to tell someone they need a CPAP breathing machine unless you also offer them Plan B, which is a mandibular advancement device. And so I think the American Sleep Association or the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine, I think about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, made it you know, you have to give people choices and you have to tell people there's two or three ways to do this. And there's not just one way to do it. And we all thought, now that's a sensible thing to do. Tell everybody there's choices and let them do their own homework and find out what works best for them. And so
in December, Vivos brought out their DNA, or not brought it out, they had the DNA appliance, but they had it approved by the FDA reversing sleep apnea.
Huge.
Is this something you would use, not to necessarily say I'm going to cure sleep apnea, but I could potentially improve, reverse?
They're good guys. They're good guys. I like those guys. They're part of my American family. You know, they're good guys. And they've done some great stuff. And they went public about 4 years ago. I was at a gig over there in Mexico last year with those guys. They're good guys. And so that's not hocus pocus. That's they've got rungs, you know, they've got people they've sorted out. So they're in there for the long game. That's how, and I'm gonna repeat though. That treatment protocol's hard work. It's a lot of work involved. It's a lot of work involved and a lot of money involved. It ain't no 2 week gig.
Yeah.
And so but I encourage people, because you're nudging me about adults, Katrina.
I know how much changed my life, and I understand if people thought I can improve my breathing, improve my sleep, which could improve, lengthen my lifespan, while having the aesthetic benefit of making me look younger. Let's be honest, the aesthetic benefits are like, could be better than surgery.
You know the aesthetic benefits of getting 11, 10 hours of efficacious, proper, effective sleep? Yeah.
Skin will look better, but I'm talking about bone. I'm saying, like, we develop the palate.
You know what people look like when they've slept properly? We've all been out and about and we've gone, you look fantastic. What have you done? And they go, oh, I had a holiday and I stopped drinking and I stopped eating sugar and I stopped eating crap and I slept. And you go, oh my God, you're radiating. And so I think there's a lot to it, but I'm gonna dig in with my tell your adult audience that a mandibular advancement splint made by the right professional in Australia who makes a lot of them and knows what he's doing is a really, really cool, cheap, inexpensive, easy peasy reboot your oxygen breathing, which has profound effects upon everything in your life. And so, but it only works when you put it in, and it should be comfortable and it should work. So it should be comfortable and it should work. And they're the two things. It's got to be comfortable, super comfortable, and it's got to work. And it doesn't cost $20. You know, it's not a $20 chemist product. It's got to be made by a dental professional that knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave the adult discussion at that. Okay. And I'm gonna finish with a cameo about cosmetics. You ready, Chris, Katrina?
Yep.
You obviously heard I'm not a label guy. So how about we say this? How about we say that if we can get adults to airway, breathing, sleep better, especially the sleep bit, they will be enhanced in numerous areas, including some cosmetic areas. Mm. Would you agree with that?
Yep. Yep. It's a fair call. Yep.
But there's more to it than that, right? So you can do lots more with that. But, you know, if we get these bony structures to be where they should be, we can do magic.
That's so, what I'm hoping you talk about, but you've talked more about the rejuvenating effects of sleep, but you're playing it a bit coy, but that's cool.
I'll tell you why. I can talk for hours and hours and hours, on the facial I can talk for hours on that. Yeah. What do you label it as? Tell me the label.
I was saying facial structure. I know people want to hear about it. How do I improve my facial structure?
I can talk hours on that, and I'm very pro it, okay? Very pro it. Okay. I'm just laying a seed that it's not a four-minute webinar subject, and I'm saying it's a complicated, long journey to execute properly.
Yes.
And so,
but non-surgical. So I would say
non-surgical. Lower yeah, sure, non-surgical. No problems at all. One of the leaders in that field was Dave Singh. Did a lot of research on that. Dave Singh in the US. But look, there's many in the US. Golly gosh, give me a capital city and I'll tell you who to ring. I mean, no problems at all. Yeah. And that's all they do all day long. And they do that every day, all day. And yeah. They're good at it. I've chosen to spend more time with the kids because I figure if you fix the kids, then you don't need to be an adult patient in the first place.
Yeah.
So, but having said that, I've got all these mums that are 35 that go, I've got neck ache, back ache, anxiety. I've got libido issues. I've got my weight's playing up. I've grind my teeth. I feel lousy in the morning, and they've got all these symptoms, and they go, I think I gave my child all these problems, and so they want solutions. So there must be another webinar there. There must be another 2-hour webinar there, Katrina.
Weight loss and anti-aging. We'll save that for another day.
All right. Okay. I'm gonna say I think you've done a wonderful job getting a message out there to a lot of people about information. It's good information. You're doing a wonderful, marvelous job out there helping mums and dads and adults and people understand this area, this big, huge, massive area. And I'd like to see you speak in America at one of our big, big, big gigs, because I think your non-medical, non-surgical, non-dental, non-physiotherapy, non-cake cooking background is so cool that you speak, and your training is so cool that your messaging is so 99% close to 99% on target that you could speak to mums and dads, and you could also speak to Harley Street, Macquarie Street, Collins Street. I don't know where it is in New York, specialists.
I'll be there. I'll see you over there, Dr. Levi. It was such a happy time, Dr. Levi. This is such an enjoyable conversation to have with you. It's really, really my pleasure.
I'm really thrilled to spend some time with you, Katrina. I hope we can do it again soon, and I hope you can spread the word and change some lives. And, you know, for every child or every adult, you get breathing better, you're changing a life, and you're changing the quality of people's lives out there. And I salute that. I take my hat off to you. Otherwise I wouldn't be talking to you. Yes. Because I think you're doing a marvelous, marvelous job. Can I officially sign off? Can I run away and go away?
Yep. Good night. I've been sending so many people your way. Hopefully they mentioned me and say Katrina sent me. Such a pleasure. Good night, Dr. Levi, and I'll chat to you soon.
Talk soon, Katrina. Bye.
Bye.